is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Fourth and final hour of VSiN Prime Time tonight. We got a lot more NBA, MLB, CFL coming your way, but right now we're going to talk golf. Will Hill, Matt Youmans here, and let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Chris Powers, senior writer for Golf Digest, joins us. Follow him on X at cpowers14. Chris or Christopher, which do you prefer to go by?
Christopher,
okay. So let's, Christopher, let's go with the Rocket Classic in Detroit. And Aldrich Potgieter, this is a name that a lot of golf bettors are going to remember from earlier in the year. It's a bad beat if you bet Potgieter earlier. Well, if you bet Minwoo Lee to be the first round leader today, Aldrich Potgieter jumped him at the end. But he came in with birdie, eagle, birdie on his final three holes. Kevin Roy and Aldrich Potgieter tied for the lead after the first round at 10 under. Minwoo Lee, 9 under. In a three-way tie for second. This is a birdie fest in Detroit. What do you make of the first round today?
Yeah, pretty incredible stuff. And kind of, I mean, believe it or not, Potgieter was a fairly popular pick, at least among the crazy golf crowd, because Detroit Golf Club has kind of been known since it took over this tournament, since this tournament's inception, as a driver wedge fest, which, as you put it, is a little bit of a birdie fest. And look, nobody hits it longer than this Aldrich Potgieter, 20 years old, absolutely bombs it. That's why he played very well at that Mexico Open. You can kind of bomb it anywhere at that golf course. Obviously, he lost on maybe the worst beat ever to the short-hitting Brian Campbell, who hit a tree, knocked it back into the fairway, and kind of stole that win from him. But people expected big things from Potgieter after that. Hasn't quite cashed in yet. I like him to kind of probably cash in this week. There's a lot of guys in the mix, and you got to make a ton of birdies, but I would expect him to be there until the end, because he hits the driver further than anybody. And if you look at the history of the guys who have won here, it's kind of drive it as far as humanly possible, go and find it, and then wedge it on. That's why Bryson DeChambeau won here, kind of at the peak of his bulk up phase, at the peak of his driving powers. Cam Davis has won here twice, the long hitting Aussie. Mm-hmm. And of course, Tony Finau, who hits it a long way, has won here as well. So drive it long, wedge it on, and make a few birdie putts. That's the recipe here.
Yeah, big hitter's definitely going to have an edge this week. You knew that if you handicapped this tournament. And Keegan Bradley, not necessarily in that group, but I did cash with him last week at 35-1. Bradley tied for 44th of 4-under today. I did not, even coming into this tournament, consider playing him back-to-back here. But, Christopher, we got 43 players within 5 strokes of the lead, and I think that's why it makes it tough to bet one of the favorites after the first round. You've got that many players within 5. And Potgieter tied for the lead. If you don't bet Potgieter here, who do you like? Who are two or three players you like headed to the weekend that might be a few strokes off the pace?
Well, I'll give you one at the top of the board that you can kind of trust, and that is Patrick Cantlay to me. It's not a major championship, mm-hmm. which Cantlay has struggled with recently, especially this year. But if you look at the rest of his results, Cantlay has kind of come on a little bit strong as of late. And he has to make a big move in these Ryder Cup standings. This is a huge week. That's why he's playing. That's why Colin Morikawa is playing this week. Colin got bounced from that top six last week. So he and Cantlay kind of need to have a really good week to kind of just remind Keegan Bradley, who you mentioned, the U.S. captain, that they should factor into that Ryder Cup team. I think Cantlay will be there till the end. I think you can get him at like 14-1 right now. I'm not positive what mm-hmm. he was.
That's right.
Pre-tournament, but probably kind of right around the same number there. So he's at 6-under, only a few shots off the lead with a bunch of unproven guys ahead of him. So I like Cantlay a lot at the top of the board. And then a guy I like way down, just because this is a crazy, crazy number. I like him top 20 and top 10 live as well. But 150-1 is Jackson Suber. Now, he only has one top 10 already this year, but he's coming off a top 20 at the RBC Canadian Open. He's a top 10 approach player on the PGA Tour. Proved that again today. Hit his irons very well. didn't hit his driver very well, putted just fine, but he's six under, kind of just lurking right there. And again, a guy I just mentioned, Cantlay, I know he's more of a proven commodity, 14 to 1 at six under. Here's a guy, Jackson Suber, who, like I just said, unbelievable iron player. He'll probably play well again tomorrow. And if he just improves his driver slightly the rest of the week, I think he'll be there towards the end of the week as well. And you can get him 150 to 1 at the same six under total right now as Patrick Cantlay. So I like the Ole Miss product, Jackson Suber.
Christopher Powers, senior writer, Golf Digest with us. That's interesting, that tip on Jackson Suber. That's a great number as well. Christopher, how about this? Last night, I bet four players in this tournament. Patrick Cantlay, 16 to 1. Harry Hall, 35 to 1. Davis Thompson, 35 to 1. And Ben Griffin, I think, was right around 22 to 1. All four of those players are at six under par in that tie for 14th place. All four of them shot the identical score today, six under, and tied for 14th. Will Hill, do you have any action on the Rocket Classic in Detroit?
Yeah, I have a golf question, but first, I can't help but notice behind you, you have some Knicks memorabilia. Were you okay with the Knicks firing Tom Thibodeau? How are you recovering from that loss to the Pacers?
Tough one. Tough one. That game one, man. Oh, my God. That's one you won't soon forget, that ball hanging in the air. Even when it was hanging in the air, I thought, wow, they got this game one, and I think they probably win the series if they win game one. And now look where we are. We fired the coach. We don't have a coach. Kind of in no man's land right now. I hope they get whoever they're looking for. But no, not recovered at all. Unfortunate to see what happened to Halliburton, but kind of glad they didn't win. I really grew up a hatred for that team in that series. So, yeah, not in a good spot mentally right now as a Knicks fan. I did not agree with the Thibodeau firing.
When are the Knicks going to hire a coach? Do we have any clue when that's going to happen?
Hopefully by the end of the week.
Will there be a hole-in-one in this tournament? Yes is minus 165. No is plus 125. Is there a bet to be made there, or is that properly priced?
That seems pretty properly priced. I'm trying to think over the years if this is a hole-in-one golf course, and I should know, but I don't. That's just a scary bet for me. I wouldn't go near it.
Christopher Powers, Golf Digest with us, talking about the Rocket Classic in Detroit. Chris, how many bets did you make pre-tournament on this one?
Only three outrights. I bet Cameron Young, who is at four under. I cannot quit Cameron Young. I bet him last week at 50 to 1. He finished 16 shots behind Keegan Bradley, unfortunately. Had to go back to him this week because he has such good history at this Rocket Classic. I believe he's finished in the top 10 in both of his appearances here. And again, a very long hitter, really good putter, and has just been in great form recently. We saw him kind of in the mix at Oakmont. I bet Cameron Champ at 120 to 1. Because again, as we spoke about, this is a big hitter's golf course. Champ, who kind of burst onto the scene as one of the longest hitters in the world, then kind of faded away a little bit, then won again. He's kind of a boom or bust type guy. This is the course you bet Cameron Champ at triple digit odds, so I liked him a lot. And then I bet Chris Goderup, a New Jersey native, another long hitter who did not have a good day today, unfortunately, even par, and you cannot be even par at this golf course. So not loving my card so far. I do have two guys at four under. Hopefully they can shoot 6-7 under tomorrow. But Chris Goderup, my favorite bet of the week, is 10 shots back right now.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite of the U.S. Open, where almost every player was over par. In this tournament, almost every player is under par. And there's not too many guys over par after the first day in Detroit. Cam Davis, interesting that Cam Davis, a two-time winner here, right, Chris? Isn't he a two-time winner?
Yep.
Yeah, two over. Mm-hmm. Two over today for Cam Davis, two over 74 for him. So let's look ahead to the British Open here quickly. And by the way, you're not the only one with a Cameron Young problem. There's a lot of us out there who bet Cameron Young too many times. And I know a lot of bettors are on him this week. Indy Jeff Seeley was on this network this week touting Cam Young. I think Wes Reynolds is on him as well again this week. I finished second with Cam Young in the British Open once. You remember that a couple years ago? when he was at 120.
Oh, yes, I do. I was on him as well.
Yep, he was at 120-1, finished second. And I don't know if this guy's ever going to win an event, but he's drawn a lot of action. How about the British Open? You look ahead here, about 3 weeks. Have you played anything yet in the British, or which players would you be eyeing here a few weeks out from the British Open?
Well, funny we mentioned Cam Young. I also have a bet on him to win this week and Victor Hovland to win the British Open. Okay. Now, that's kind of a lottery ticket pipe dream parlay. But love what I saw from Hovland at Oakmont. Honestly, you know, if you watch the coverage that week, if you heard all the stories, I was at Oakmont. He did not have his driver sort of locked in. And there he was on Sunday night with a legitimate chance to win. I know, obviously, J.J. Spaun went on to win. Victor Hovland showed him the line on the last hole. But Hovland's a guy who's kind of just rose to the occasion in these major championships. You can still find him almost at 30-1, I think, in some places. He's played well in Open championships. I like him a lot. Very difficult not to like Tyrrell Hatton, who also played well at Oakmont, mm-hmm. who's had great history in the Open. He topped 10 at Royal Portrush the last time it was there in 2019. And then another guy I like, I know I'm just going off recency bias, guy played great in the U.S. Open, and that's Robert McIntyre, who plays great across the pond. He's won a Scottish Open. He's in good form right now, and he's won on the PGA Tour. He won the Canadian Open last year, so he's kind of proven himself over these last few years. So I like Hatton, I like Bob Mack, and I really like Victor Hovland at Royal Portrush.
Speaking of bad beats, Christopher, remember I had Bobby Mack at 120-1 in that tournament last year when Rory beat him with the birdie on 18?
That sounds like the Scottish Open.
I think it was the Scottish Open. Christopher Powers, Golf Digest at C Powers 14. All right, Will Hill seemed a little bit distracted in the previous segment. I said, Will, why'd you have your eyes down? You had your head down the whole time. He said, I was on sharpplays.com, surveying the website. Hey, before the line moves, the sharp plays at sharpplays.com is already there. Don't chase the market. Move it. You're not going to outmuscle billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time pro bettors on your own, but with the sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by cutting-edge AI and trusted insider sources, the sharp plays delivers the edge that serious bettors rely on. You get free betting reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights, all delivered right to you via X. Sharpplays.com, trusted by pros, watched by the books. Check them out now at sharpplays.com. Will, are you back with us?
I'm here. Sharpplays.com is where it's at. So checking out that, checking out the CFL.
How about
NBA
the CFL?
Draft wrapping up.
Speaking of that.
Yeah, go ahead.
We got a sharp play from Ian Cameron tonight, I think, right? Talking about the total on this Edmonton-Winnipeg sure. game. Again, don't say Edmonton Eskimos. That's offensive. It's the Edmonton Elks tonight against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And the Blue Bombers up 23-20 here in the third quarter. This game's on CBS Sports Network if you feel like watching some football on a Thursday night. Of course, keep us on the other screen. But again, Will, Ian Cameron played over 48.5. Total was bet up to 51 or 51.5, and we got a 23-20 shootout early in the third quarter.
That's with one of the worst drop touchdowns you'll ever see. I don't know if you got a chance to see.
I haven't seen it yet.
A few times. It didn't even. I said earlier, it went through his hands, hit his helmet. It didn't even hit his hands. There's nobody near him. There's nobody on the screen. It's right to him, and it doesn't even touch his hands. I don't know if there's a sun or a glare, because it just hits them right in the head. It looks like a blooper reel. So they had to settle for a field goal. That cost them points. But a couple two and outs, that's what's weird about CFL. If you've never watched it, if you never bet it, it's just a different flow because it's only two down. So you can have some really quick possessions, which just mm-hmm. makes for a different flow of the game.
I've always liked the CFL going way back. And if you like to bet football, it's a great betting option right now. Definitely follow our segments with Ian Cameron every Thursday night, and he previews the CFL. He was on tonight, right, 15 minutes before kickoff here, previewing CFL Week 4. He's got over the total tonight, and hopefully he gets there. He's got to love where he's at right now, 23-20 Winnipeg. 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. Looks like it's going to fly over tonight. Update on the NBA draft. The last time we talked about it, Kobe Sanders, guard from Nevada, was drafted by the Knicks at number 50. Since then, college players you're going to recognize. John Tonzi from Wisconsin had a big year for the Badgers. Tonzi was drafted by the Utah Jazz. I don't believe he's been traded. I don't see a note here. I believe he was drafted and is being kept by the Utah Jazz. That's pick number 53. The Pacers at 54 took a player I really know nothing about, Talon Peter from Liberty. The Lakers, who traded this pick to Chicago, took Lachlan Ulbrich from Australia at number 55. And pick number 56, you'll know this player, Will Richard from Florida, the third Gator off the board in this draft. So you had Walter Clayton in the first round, and tonight Elijah Martin and Will Richard. So how about that? Will Richard from the Gators goes to the Memphis Grizzlies. Traded to Golden State, by the way. The Warriors have picked up a shooter in Kobe Bray from Kentucky and a tough guard from Florida in Will Richard. So Golden State Warriors with a couple pickups here in the second round, Will.
I will add a pick I really like, a couple I really like, but one that jumped out to me, I think when he was drafted, we mentioned it. I might have misunderstood it. It does. It gets confusing with all these trades and swaps and everything. Thero, the big kid from Arkansas, was hurt a lot of this year. Athletic, can jump. Mm-hmm. He is going to the Lakers in a trade with the T-Wolves. So the Lakers get Thero. That's a perfect lob threat for Luka, who did not have that element to the offense. He's going to fit really well. He can't really shoot. Who knows? Maybe he can improve that. But he's very athletic. He can jump. He's got size. That's just what the doctor ordered for the Lakers. I think that's a perfect hand-in-glove fit. And another one I kind of like, sneaky pick here, Amari Williams, the big guy from Kentucky. He goes to the Celtics, probably be a backup big, but size, defense, you can never have too many of those guys. I think he'll probably, you know, carve out a niche in the league. He should be able to play in the league with some of the things he brings to the table. And just seeing this best remaining player, some of the names you're going to recognize, Mark Sears from Bama. You mentioned Dixon from Villanova. RJ Lewis is going to the draft. Now, he can't go back to college, right? Is it different with the portal rules? Like, why would this kid not be in college? What did he think? Like, he got some bad advice, unless I'm just misunderstanding this.
No, you're not misunderstanding. He got some bad advice, made a bad move. And I thought that at the time, RJ Lewis from St. John's, who's a Big East player of the year, obviously had the burnout game, the bad game in an NCAA tournament when St. John's got knocked out by Arkansas. And he had the falling out with Rick Pitino after that game. So he was not going to stay at St. John's. But he could have transferred somewhere else and gotten big money to transfer.
Yeah.
Instead, he decided to enter the draft, and it looks like he's going to go undrafted. There's only three picks left tonight. Eric Dixon, the leading scorer in college basketball, is in danger of going undrafted. Eric Dixon from Villanova, nation's leading scorer. RJ Lewis, the Big East player of the year from St. John's, in danger of not being drafted. Now there's only two picks left because Max Scholga from VCU just went at pick number 57. So we got two picks left. And Mark Sears from Alabama, who was a star in the tournament in 2024. And Mark Sears was a player a lot of people thought was the preseason, worthy of being the preseason player of the year in college basketball. Obviously, Sears didn't have a great season following up what he did in the tournament in the Final Four in 2024. But Mark Sears, RJ Lewis, and Eric Dixon, three of the biggest names in college basketball, in jeopardy of going undrafted with two picks left in the second round. You see this every year, Will, where big names in college hoops go undrafted. But, man, those are three of the biggest names from last season. Only two picks.
I mean, it's one thing to go undrafted. You fulfill your college eligibility and you don't get drafted. You know what? You try to catch on with a team or you play overseas. You know what? It's part of you did everything you could. When you voluntarily come out of the draft and say, you know what, forget the NIL money, forget college, I'm just going to go to the draft. I mean, he is just way, way off in terms of the perception. He's not an NBA player. He can't shoot. I'm shocked that he's just this unaware, this lacks this much self-awareness to think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave college early. I'm going to go to the draft. He got some horrible, horrible advice.
Ace Bailey got some bad advice too, but he still went number five to Utah. And that was weird. I mean, if you're the Utah Jazz and a player does not want to play in Salt Lake City, did not even want to work out for you, do you still draft him? Did you question that move by Utah? I mean, you could say he's the best player, the top player we had available on the board, but if he doesn't want to play for you, do you want to draft him?
It would scare me. Ainge has been known as being stubborn. He's not going to be strong-armed. He's strong-willed. I did find the humor in this kid, Bailey. You know, I want to go here. I won't go there. Just, kind of strong-arming his preferences, trying to dictate things. And how does it work out for him? Welcome to Salt Lake City, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Not much of a nightlife there. He's going to find that when he gets there. Pick number 34 tonight, Ryan Kalkbrenner, center from Creighton to the Charlotte Hornets. I really love what the Hornets have done in this draft. Kalkbrenner from Creighton goes to Charlotte. Pick number 35, John A. Broome from Auburn went to the Philadelphia 76ers. So a couple of highlights there in the second round tonight. And I believe only two picks left, one by the Cavs and one by the Rockets to wrap up the draft tonight. Will, we talked about the Knicks. And we were talking about that with Christopher Powers of Golf Digest. He's a Knicks fan. You know, they fire Tom Thibodeau, and they're still conducting the coaching search. They've been turned down by head coach after head coach in terms of not getting permission to speak with these guys. It looks like an even worse decision at this point. It's dumb and dumber, the situation with the Knicks, because if you're going to fire Tom Thibodeau, you have to have a plan. Doesn't it look pretty obvious at this point, Will, that the Knicks just fired Thibodeau and had no plan who they were going to replace him with?
They either had no plan, which is the likely favorite here, or things were just so toxic behind the scenes. You hear whispers that the dynamic of Jalen Brunson, Brunson's dad doesn't like Thibodeau. Does Jalen Brunson have pull? I don't know the situation. It can't just be based on the best available candidate, because all of these guys they're interviewing are not as good coaches as Thibodeau. I'm not even a huge Thibodeau fan, but Thibodeau's better than all these guys. So it's a strange scenario. I thought Taylor Jenkins would be the guy. I mean, you can't sell Mike Brown. You can't fire Thibodeau and say, all right, we got rid of Thibodeau. He was the problem. We're going to bring in Mike Brown.
Right.
You cannot sell that to your fan base. Your fan base is too smart. I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do. Denver proved in the playoffs that coaching at times can be a little overrated. I mean, they basically, 10 minutes before the playoffs, picked somebody out of the stands and he let them to beat a Clippers team that everyone thought was going to win, and he almost beat OKC. So sometimes it's, NBA of all the sports, it's more the players than the coaches, but certainly a strange dynamic here with the Knicks looking for a coach.
How about Mike Malone? Here, when the DraftKings put up the odds on the next Knicks coach, he was the favorite. I haven't heard much buzz about Mike Malone being the Nuggets coach. Yeah. Hey, we're going to talk about this a little bit more later. Hold on here. I got to tell you about the NFL betting guide coming out here at VSiN on Tuesday, July 1st. You want to be one of the first to get it. Gives you the best shot to get the best numbers on the NFL futures. Again, the football special of VSiN, just $175. You get full VSiN Pro access from today all the way through the Super Bowl. That's $175. That's a hell of a deal. VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in the football special. VSIN.com/subscribe. Hoop Peterson on deck. All right, we're here with one of the true characters at the Vegas Stats Information Network, Greg Hoops Peterson. Greg, we're going to give you the podium here for the final pick of the NBA draft, the 2025 NBA draft, Houston Rockets on the clock. Greg Peterson, will you announce the pick?
Absolutely. As the deputy commissioner of VSiN, I will make this pick as it's Jemai Mashek out of Tennessee. Not a guy that I thought was going to get picked tonight.
That's a stunner. Greg, how about the big names? Will Hill, Matt Youmans, Greg Peterson here as we wrap up the final half hour tonight on VSiN Primetime. Hoops is on deck. Greg, how about the big names that went undrafted? Mark Sears out of Alabama, RJ Lewis from St. John's, Eric Dixon, the leading scorer in college basketball from Villanova, and more. And there's a bunch of big names going undrafted tonight.
Vladislav Golden as well out of Michigan.
Golden,
I mean, that one wasn't too much of a stunner. Eric Dixon, I don't know if he quite translates to the NBA, and they think that these guys are ancient and things like that, even though we're seeing these guys like LeBron James playing into their 40s now. But I take a look at some of these guys that didn't go drafted. For Mark Sears, I think that was just a bad year this past year because we saw what he was able to do in the 2023-24 season. Just really didn't follow that up. The one that was really stunning to me, though, was that I just felt like RJ Lewis was going to go at some point. You had to think that if you're going to declare for the NBA draft early like that, that you're going to get some sort of a guarantee. The fact that he didn't, you have to wonder if he's maybe just going to go overseas or something like that, because this was just a very curious falling out, and he could have made a lot of NIL money.
It's a bad move. That's what it was. Yeah. A dumb move.
You don't see as many in this day and age, too, because like Todd Spettiford, Yaxel Lendeborg, those are guys that have returned to school.
You got the opportunity to stay in college basketball and make a couple million dollars. Instead, you enter the draft and you go undrafted. That's an all-time bad move. And RJ Lewis, he's going to regret that one. The Big East Player of the Year from St. John's.
Yeah, had you seen that like 3 or 4 years ago before the NIL money? A little bit more understandable. This day and age, no.
He stayed in college and made a couple million.
Yep.
And there were opportunities out there for him. And again, the draft is over now. Greg, winners and losers. I just had a text from the Shrews, Matt Shrewsbury in Sacramento, California. He is watching the show tonight, and I've been bragging about the Charlotte Hornets. I love their draft with Colin Knipple, Liam McNeely. They get Cyan James. They get Ryan Kalkbrenner. I've never been complimentary of the Charlotte Hornets, but I like their draft here. How about for you? How about winners and losers, things you liked, didn't like from the first two rounds of the draft?
Yeah, it might be the biggest win that the Charlotte Hornets got since they were the Charlotte Bobcats. Like, I mean, this has been an organization that has been miring in mediocrity. Now being able to get, I mean, especially at number 29, being able to get Liam McNeely, I thought that was a steal. That guy should have probably went in the mid-teens.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Back half of the lottery, maybe just outside the lottery. Getting him at 29 was great. Colin Knipple was a little bit of a foregone conclusion, but you know what you're going to get? He's a guy that's going to pop it from three. He's going to give you instant offense. You love that. And you mentioned Ryan Kalkbrenner. True seven-footer that's going to be able to help you out down low because they trade away Mark Williams to be able to get Liam McNeely. That's honestly a relatively good exchange. And the Charlotte Hornets all of a sudden have gotten better. They're a few years away, but you finally feel like there's hope for this organization.
Yeah, to answer Matt Shrewsbury's question, no, I'm not going to buy NBA championship futures on the Charlotte Hornets.
Nah.
But I do like their draft a lot tonight, and that's a team. Maybe you look at a team on the rise in the East. And the East might be wide open next season with everything going on in that conference. I'm not saying Charlotte Hornets are going to be a play-on, but they're going to be improved. And I like their draft. And I always say this, their NBA draft is one of the dumbest events of the year, every year, because so many of these teams are incompetent when it comes to drafting and scouting.
Pelicans.
So many of these teams are. And but the Charlotte Hornets did a good job. Who else did a good job? Give us one more team or another pick you really liked.
I really did like what the Utah Jazz were able to do as well. Bringing Walter Clayton, I thought that was a good trade. Had the Wizards held on to that pick and taken Clayton, I honestly thought that was going to be good for them. And then when you see, oh, Walter Clayton going to be going to Utah, I mean, that's a guy with a really quick release. His game, in my opinion, is going to translate great to the NBA. And I know that it's a little bit of a strange situation with regards to what we saw out of Ace Bailey. Guy was a top three talent that fell to number five. Now, what you're going to be able to get out of him is anyone's question, but I mean, if he turns out to be the top three guy that we all expected, we could be looking back and saying, hey, this is a night that changed the Utah Jazz and really got that rebuild going.
Ace Bailey's probably not going to enjoy the nightlife in Salt Lake City. Greg Peterson, you enjoy the nightlife in Vegas. You post a lot of photos on social media. Hey. It seems like you're out at hot spots for dinner almost every night. You've got date night 5 nights a week. Is it the same girl you're going out with, or is it a variety of girls you're taking out for date nights?
We've been a single girl man for the last few months, so you know what? We're keeping it steady.
Same girl?
Good answer.
Same girl that Derek Stevens and I met up to the Legacy Club that night?
Yes.
That's her?
Yep.
Okay. All right, Will Hill, let's transition here from NBA and date night to baseball and take a look at the card on Friday.
I just want to repeat, Greg, that's a great answer. Just say it exactly like how you said it, and you're going to be in good shape. Major League Baseball, I'll give you the floor. Anything jump out at you? What's your favorite play here looking at the Friday card?
A little bit strange that we've got a total of 8.5 between the Yankees and the Athletics. Now, I recognize that the Yankees offense has been, well, lacking over the last 2 weeks. I think that this is a great spot for them. They're going up against Mitch Spence, who's been okay as a starter for the A's, hovering right around about a 380 or so ERA, not giving up a lot of homers, but now you go to Yankee Stadium, but here's real kicker with the Athletics. That bullpen, dead stinking last in the big leagues. They just have not been able to find anyone to be able to give you good innings. Even Mason Miller has gone down the toilet bowl for them, and Will Warren. If you look at the fielding independent numbers, if you look at the strikeout numbers, he's been rock solid. He just has a problem with command, giving up 3.5 walks per 9 innings against an Athletics team that, I mean, you've got the likes of Brent Rooker, Tyler Soderstrom being able to give you some homers. Kurtz has been really good, giving you a double-figure amount of bombs as well. I just feel like there's going to be runs in this game. Getting the Yankees right around about like -105, -110 on the run line as well. That's something that I'd like, but I do think that the Yankees get to Spence in that bad bullpen. So I think that this is where they bust out. I like that over.
Will, keep it there. Right. By the way, what's your handicap of A's Yankees? Yankees big favorites -202 on the opener.
Yeah, I haven't gotten into it yet. I will be at the game. I will be at Yankee Stadium for the first time in almost 9 years.
Really?
My boycott is over. Yeah, my kids really want to go. I have not gone since the winter. They didn't sign Harper or Machado.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like the way they're running the team. I said, I'm not going to spend money that for a team that doesn't spend money. But I will be back tomorrow. Haven't handicapped this game. Greg, I'm curious about a game and your philosophy in general. Logan Gilbert and the Mariners against Nate Eovaldi and the Rangers. What is your philosophy on pitchers like Eovaldi who are fresh coming off the IL? I know a lot of sharp handicappers will fade them, not play the game entirely. How do you approach it when a pitcher is fresh off the IL?
It's situation by situation. You want to take a look at some of the minor league rehab starts because there are some guys that did it right. Like Shota Imanaga was a guy that I backed today. With Shota Imanaga, he looked really good in his 3 minor league rehab appearances. He was rock solid today, got the job done with the under and the Cubs, so was rewarded there. And for Nathan Eovaldi, he is coming off the injured list after being on there for about 30 days. So, I mean, it was a little bit of a lengthy stint, but this isn't like he was on there for 2 months, 3 months, anything like that. Now, we've seen Eovaldi come off the injured list a few times, and he's been a little bit shaky, but you know what's even more shaky than what Eovaldi has been? Texas Rangers lineup. The Texas Rangers lineup just cannot hit at home. They're playing north of 70% of their games at home to the under. I was able to spot this at an 8 a little bit before. I think Eovaldi is going to be able to do enough to be able to get it to a bullpen for the Rangers that has been in the top 10 in terms of ERA. You've got some solid long guys for this team. Recognize that Jacob Lyons is now being used as a bulk guy, but I like that under just because I just don't think that the Rangers do their part with this total.
Greg Hoops Peterson breaking down baseball after we talked NBA draft. We had Chris Jimenez on the show tonight, and he mentioned the Cincinnati Reds as a team to watch on the rise. But he doesn't like the matchup necessarily here on Friday. Dylan Cease and the Padres, -140, Padres at the Reds.
We're right now seeing this at a -140, which is rising up a little bit more than what I liked. I was seeing it more around a -130 a little bit before. So if we could get in more of that middle -135 or less, I'll be back on the San Diego Padres. But with Dylan Cease, I think that there's a lot of positivity due in for him. He's been giving up less than home run per 9 innings. That ERA is a 4.41. Fielding independent is more around about a 3, though. He's still getting good strikeouts. We haven't seen any sort of velocity dip. And for the Cincinnati Reds, interestingly enough, even though they play in what they like to call Great American Small Park, they're actually averaging more runs away from home rather than at home, which has been a very intriguing conundrum, to say the least. And then Ellie De La Cruz has been amazing. Who else for the Reds is really hitting, though? That's a big question. And with Nick Martinez, he's been giving up quite a bit of the deep ball. I take a look at that total of 9. I think that you get a good start out of Dylan Cease. So, like the under, and if we can get back to a more of a -135, do like the Padres.
All right, Greg, while you were talking about date nights, I know you're not shy to answer personal questions, right?
Absolutely.
All right, because we had a viewer who just sent in a question that says, I thought Greg Hoops Peterson was married. What happened?
Oh, boy.
That sort of went by the wayside, and we decided to dedicate ourselves instead to handicapping baseball and college basketball.
But you were married for a while, what, a couple of years?
2.5 years.
2.5?
2.5.
Okay. You open to getting married again with this new girl you've been taking out?
We shall see.
Okay. All right. That's Craig Hoops Peterson. Tune in 3 hours more of Hoops tonight, right after Will Hill and I go off the air. Follow him at GUnit 81, right?
GUnit _81.
All right. And follow him on Twitter because you can see all the photos from his date nights and all the restaurants he hits, nightclubs and hot spots around Las Vegas. Will Hill and I will be back with Best Bets to wrap up the show on the Sports Betting Network.
Sports Betting Network.
All right, wrapping it up here tonight on VSiN Primetime, Will Hill, Matt Youmans, and Will, let's update the CFL game. Wow. Thought we had a big play there, but the punt returner got clotheslined. Tied at 23 with 13.5 minutes to go in Winnipeg. The Elks and the Blue Bombers, again, tied 23-23 and getting close to that total. Ian Cameron bet it over 48.5. Total close 51 here, 51.5 at some spots. The scoring has slowed down here a little bit,
yeah.
Will Hill. But the underdog is live, and this is a big dog tonight. Edmonton opened +11, closed anywhere from 9, 9.5 to 10, and it looks like we got a chance for a big upset in the CFL to kick off week 4.
Yeah, and Edmonton has had their opportunities. They've had the ball tied a few times. They dropped a touchdown pass, which was cost them 4 points earlier. But now Winnipeg gets a big play. But this has been a pretty dead even game. So you're getting an 11 from Ian Cameron here in a game that's been pretty evenly played. That's looks like a good bet. It's still a long way to go. And with the two downs, anything can happen here. But good shape so far here, at least for Ian's bet, plus the 11.
Ian's got the underdog, double-digit dog, and he's got over the total. And there's a big play for the Blue Bombers. And they are inside the Edmonton 30. Well, a lot of time left on the clock. Still got 13 minutes to go in this game tonight. Again, the first game of week four of the CFL season. All right, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSIN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 of first bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSIN completes the try with a free pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 try from GBank First Bet and VSIN. Again, go to vsin.com/gbank. It's a one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer. It will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. vsin.com/gbank. Will almost sneezed right in the middle of that promotion. Had to snuff it out. All right, so looking forward to the Friday baseball card. You are going to be making – so this is your birthday week, right? Are you turning 40?
Yeah.
When do you turn 40?
Hour and 15 minutes.
Turn 40 on June 27th?
Yeah. So over 39 and a half years for me is not quite cash, but you're in good shape here if you've got the over 39 and a half, hopefully.
It's like the CFL games, almost over the total, but yes, not quite there. All right, so for your birthday weekend, you're taking your wife and kids to Yankee Stadium to see Aaron Boone, right?
Aaron Boone, there will be gum. There will be hopefully some fireworks here. I think the Yankees will start to play better here. A's are a soft opponent. You get them at home. So we'll see if the Yankees can get back here on track. And I do like, we were talking about this just a minute ago. I think the Mets, the other New York team, it's funny, they've both been scuffling at the same time. Mets laying $1.55, $1.58 or so. Peterson on the mound against the Pirates. Mets have won two in a row. I just have a feeling that their bad baseball, one of the reasons I liked them tonight, their bad baseball, which was really bad here for a couple weeks, is possibly a thing of the past. That's a really good lineup. They're going to have to get some of these pitchers either up from the minors or figure something out, because they're losing them seemingly every day. And Mendoza just did say it's an Achilles injury for Griffin Canning, but I think the Mets here get a little streak going and beat the Pirates on Friday.
Was that the breaking news? We have that confirmed. Is that a blown Achilles for Griffin Canning, or what is it?
I just saw Achilles injury. We do have some other news. I don't know. It's NBA related. Mark Sears of Bama goes to Milwaukee. Eric Dixon from Villanova goes to the Lakers. Vlad Goldin of Michigan goes to the Heat. So some of these guys that didn't get drafted have caught on quickly here.
Big names in college basketball sign as undrafted free agents. We'll see where RJ Lewis from St. John's goes. Big East Player of the Year went undrafted tonight. Bad decision to turn pro. But again, you said Eric Dixon from Villanova goes to the Lakers. Yes. Mark Sears goes to the Miami Heat. Is that what you said?
Mark Sears to Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
Vlad Goldin to the Heat.
Vlad Goldin to the Miami Heat. Vlad Goldin started his career at Florida Atlantic, finished at Michigan, yes, back to Miami with the Heat. And I like all those pickups, especially Vlad Goldin, I think, is a guy who could probably be a rotation player for the Heat. Eric Dixon's interesting, man. The leading scorer in college basketball. You would think that he could find his way onto that Lakers roster, that you would find a spot for a guy like that. But I really think he's improved his game tremendously in the last couple of years. All right, so you and your wife and all four kids headed to Yankee Stadium in the morning?
We'll be there.
You going to all chew gum and honor of Aaron Boone the whole game? You're going to chew gum the entire game?
We'll see. I haven't been to this stadium in a while. I used to love going to
the old Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. There was just a mystique about it. You walk in and, man, if you love baseball, you just get chills. There's a feeling when you see that first blade of grass, when you pull up to the stadium, there's nothing like it. The new stadium does not quite have that buzz. It's just, there's not the history, but it'll be fun. Looking forward to it.
That should be a cool trip. How far is that drive from your house to Yankee Stadium? 4 hours?
It's a good question. No, hour and a half, 2 minutes.
Really?
Two hours.
Even with the traffic in New York?
It's not that far away. Depends what time we leave. If we avoid the traffic, 90 minutes or so.
Well, that's a quick trip. Okay, I thought you lived further away from this. So you live in Bethany, Connecticut, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, have a good time out there at Yankee Stadium. Celebrate your 40th birthday. Yankees a little bit too high a price to back tomorrow. Would you consider backing them on the run line? It's tough to lay 1.5 runs with the Yankees right now, the way the offense is going. And you hate to do it sometimes with the home teams in this situation. But the Yankees minus 202, total of 8.5. Spence against Will Warren. What's the most likely outcome on your birthday trip?
Yanks should win. They're rightfully favored. They should be a big favorite, but I think you and I are aligned on this. Very rarely do I lay north of $2. Very rarely do I lay a run and a half, especially at home when you're not going to get the ninth at bat. So pretty easy pass for me. I'll just sit back and enjoy the game.
So you can actually go to the game and not have any action on it. You're cool with that, huh? You've got season-long action on the Yankees, though. What are your season-long futures bets? You got a Yankees win total bet and something else, right?
Now that you mention it, I'll probably have to fire something. That's a good point. Good point.
Would you parlay the Yankees with the Mets, the New York parlay? You said you like David Peterson and the Mets. Mets, best price in the market's minus 155. You going to lay the 155?
I will delay the 155. Maybe you know the answer to this. If I'm sitting in the ballpark at Yankee Stadium, do my apps work? Can I get ahead of the number if something big happens, if I cue the bet, or is that not a viable strategy?
Try it out. All right. I'm not sure how your apps are going to work at Yankee Stadium tomorrow night. You might be able to.
They have the books.
I doubt you can get an edge. What's
York's
that?
Legal state. New York's a legal state, so they...
You have New York sportsbook apps on your phone? Do you have accounts there?
So if you have DraftKings in Connecticut, once it goes to New York, it just automatically switches over to New York. So it keeps.
Give it a shot tomorrow night. Let us know how it turns out. So you're not going to be on the Friday night show. I'm not going to be on the Friday night show. I'm going to start vacation. Who's going to be on the Friday night show here? We don't know.
TBD.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go watch Power Slap. What's that? Greg Hoops Peterson's going to fill in for us on VSIN Primetime tomorrow night. All right. I tell you what, if you don't have much to do on a Friday night, how about checking out Power Slap? You can come over to Circa to the Fight House and check out Power Slap 13. It's going to be Fountain Blue. You can watch it on YouTube. You can come over here, watch it in the Sportsbook or at Stadium Swim. Great to have a couple of Power Slap fighters on the show tonight. The Hawaiian Hitman, Dwayne Viernes, a big dog in the main event tomorrow night, but he says he's a live dog at plus 250. And the Wolverine, Ron Batta, he's a big favorite. He's the light heavyweight champion. And Ron minus 270, the Wolverine minus 270 in his fight. I appreciate having those guys in studio tonight. Also on the show, Aaron Moore, the professor. Ian Cameron, the Canadian kid. Chris Jimenez. Christopher Powers and Greg Hoops Peterson is going to be up next. You want to stay tuned to VSIN. Following primetime, Will Hill and I shut it down, and Greg Hoops Peterson cranks it up. Hoops is joined by Colby Dant to break down the early college football and NFL futures bets on cashing out. Wake up tomorrow morning with VSIN by the books with Super Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis at 7 a.m., followed by a numbers game with Gil. And props to you, Will Hill. You were on Gil Alexander's show, 2 days ago and gave out I think you had a 5-0 card in baseball, right?
5-0 on Wednesday. Those are always nice. Able to get a winner tonight, so hopefully we can keep it going.
All right, keep it going. Have a winning weekend. A happy birthday. And stay tuned here on VSIN for Greg Hoops Peterson. This is the Sports Betting Network.